Hey everyone, having a good day? Sweet. So I'm here to talk about TypeScript for C# developers. If that's not what you want to listen to, wrong room, because that is what I'm going to be talking about. My name is Chris Klug. I work as a software developer slash mentor slash whatever technical thing you can come up with currently. I've been doing so for the last 15, 20 years, professionally for 15. Nowadays, to the love of my boss, I spend most of my time at conferences around the world speaking, not charging anything, which is not great for a company, I guess. I'm into ASP.NET, so I'm an ASP.NET MVP, and ASP Insider and all of that stuff that you should be, apparently. And also, yes, I'm from Sweden, so I speak with crappy, broken Swedish English. So if you don't understand me, tough, because that's just the way it is. Can't do anything about it. Anyhow, so what's wrong with JavaScript? Anybody in here really love JavaScript? Wrong talk. If you like JavaScript, there's the door. JavaScript is, no, seriously, JavaScript is a fantastic language, but what is wrong with JavaScript? Seriously. Have you looked at JavaScript recently? Let's do this. I have a little project here. Oh yeah, for all of my Microsoft friends out there that I keep telling that you should stop doing all your demos in VS Code and use Visual Studio instead, I'm now gonna do my demo in VS Code. For the very simple reason that I can't do my demo in Visual Studio, because in Visual Studio, there are no snippets in TypeScript. Snippet support for the TypeScript editor in Visual Studio is broken, so you can't use that. And also, it has some issues with font sizes and things like that. So I'm just going to stay in Visual Studio Code, but you can do all of the stuff that I'm doing here in Visual Studio as well. It's easier to show it here. So I'm going to start out with, there it is. Can everyone see that? OK, cool. So let's start out with arguments, right? Everybody knows what that does. If you do not understand those four lines of JavaScript, wrong room, probably wrong conference, potentially wrong line of business completely. It is fairly obvious. It's a func. It basically, the console logs out concatenating two parameters with a space in between. So I pass in hello and world, and it outputs to my console. Let's just start that. Sorry. Let's do npm run light. So in my console here, why is that not being shown? Because it's not outputting what I wanted to output. Why is it not giving me waiting for localhost? Yes, please serve up my file. Always run cool things in the command line because they work so awesomely. Let's try. I have no idea why this is now not working. Yes, terminate that. Let's try it again. NPM run light. If this is not working, we'll just cut the whole session and just go home, right? I think our setup is running on 3001. Was there a 3? Thank you. No, that was browser sync. I actually wanted to have localhost 3000, so that should be right. But if this is not answering, I'm now going to have a problem for the rest of my presentation. Fail to load. Status not. This has worked fine previously. I've had no problems. Well, let's just ignore it. It'll sort itself out later on, I hope. You get the point, anyhow. The cool thing with JavaScript is that JavaScript won't actually say that I'm doing anything wrong if I do this, right? It will just go ahead and say, hey, fine. You want to pass in too many arguments? You're stupid, but it's going to work. Or I can just go ahead and do this. Oh, so you forgot to pass in your arguments. Fine, I don't care. You're stupid, but it's going to work. Does this sound like a reasonable programming language? Yeah, I'm going to give you functions. I'm going to take parameters. You can pass in whatever you want. I don't really care. There are reasons behind it. I know if you know JavaScript, you're actually not getting your arguments passed in like that. You get them passed in with an argument object that is just magically there, and it happens to name some of the arguments for you. But yeah, that's JavaScript. So another one of those fantastic things, let's talk about JavaScript closures. So JS closures, here we have it. What will this output? Anyone want to guess? Somebody here has done JavaScript, because I heard somebody say the right answer down here somewhere.
10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yes, it will output 10, 10 times. Why? Because JavaScript is screwed. Because since I do window.setTimeout, I'm actually deferring the execution of it, and I defer the execution until this thing has run through the loop, but the variable I'm keeping a reference to is the one that's been incremented, so when it finally executes, it gets reference to the number 10 every single time. Well, Chris, that's not a problem. All you have to do is this. Wait for it. Function x. Wrap the whole thing in that. Use the variable x. Call this thing, oh sorry, we have to wrap it in parentheses as well. Execute that thing straight up like that. That will work. Does that make sense? Is there anyone in here not grasping what I just did and why this is important? Cool, because I didn't. I had to Google this. I had to Google this way back when I tried to figure out why this doesn't work. Now I kind of know why it works. It's still screwed. It's JavaScript. I love JavaScript, by the way, so don't blame me for not loving JavaScript. I do. Let's talk about JavaScript. Let's talk about JS this, JavaScript this variable. I'll let you read through it. I have a constructor function. It takes two parameters, first name and last name. Remember, I can pass in whatever I want. It will be fine. I can pass in year and birth date and whatever I feel like. It will be okay, because it doesn't matter if first name is the string John or it's a number one. It'll be fine. So the person will be named one, though. It has a function called getName that returns this.firstName plus its empty string or space and this.lastName. So I get John, I do a new person, and I get John Doe, and I run John.getName. I really have to get this going. There it is. It just works. JavaScript is awesome. I'm actually going to blame this on JavaScript for some reason. Actually, I can blame this on JavaScript because I'm running Node. Ta-da! It is JavaScript. So John Doe works fine, right? Not that I would normally do this, but what happens if I do var get name equals John dot John dot get name like that, and then I call get name like this? What am I going to get? Any guesses? Whereas there's some JavaScript dude up here, he will know what it does, because he's screwed up enough to understand it. Undefined, undefined. Obviously, right? Because, funky enough, as soon as I pull away the John dot here, this is no longer John. This is now the window, obviously. So I can just go up here and say var first name equals Bill. Go back out here, and now I've got Bill undefined, because this is the window. So if I declare variables on window level, I can then magically just use them. Yes, because we do want to have the this variable being a very fluent thing that might work in one case and not in another. That will not cause problems. Yeah. Why not take it even further? Because JavaScript has this awesome feature. We can do, this is, you'll love this, John.getName. But I'm not going to execute getName. I can't spell if my, yeah. I'm going to do call. And then I'm going to pass in a new object. And then I'm going to do a new object that has first name, I don't know, Eric. Last name, I'm Swedish, right? So it has to be Johnson, which is a bad name. Go back out here, and all of a sudden it says Eric Johnson. Because obviously I need the ability to call any function passing in the this variable and changing the way it executes. All the features I always dreamt of having in C, no, I didn't. Actually, one of the things I love about C sharp is the fact that it does what I tell it to do without weirdness, not without going, oh, I can see that you're trying to use this. Do you want me to change it for you? No, Clippy, stay out of my editor. So, what's wrong with JavaScript? Well, that's wrong with JavaScript. I'm sorry, I'm getting all excited here about what's wrong with JavaScript. It's kind of freaky with a guy upstage, on stage getting like excited about telling you how wrong JavaScript is, but that's what I'm doing. So the solution to JavaScript sucking, or sorry, no, sorry, I'm going to take that back. I love JavaScript. The solution to JavaScript being a special kind of language is TypeScript. So what is TypeScript? Well, TypeScript is just a superset of JavaScript. So it is pretty much ECMAScript. It has the same syntax. A lot of TypeScript is JavaScript, while it then adds a bit on top of it. It adds a few more features. So all your properly formatted JavaScript or ECMAScript is TypeScript. You can take your JavaScript file and just rename it to .ts and you will have a TypeScript file. It's going to blow up in your face. It's not going to work because you will have done things in there that you shouldn't have done that will then not work in TypeScript because TypeScript actually expects you to do things the right way. You still kind of need to learn JavaScript. Because what you do is you take your TypeScript and you transpile it to JavaScript. So you take this beautiful TypeScript that you've created and crafted and loved to this beautiful thing, and you transpile it into this ugliness that is JavaScript. And then it breaks, and then you have to figure out why it breaks, and that's when you actually do need to know a little bit about JavaScript. So JavaScript is pretty much just ECMAScript++ or JavaScript sharp, or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of JavaScript the way that we as C sharp devs like to see it. I did want to call it JavaScript++, but apparently that is a language. Who would have known? I'm going to have to check that out at some point. But the idea is that it's built, Microsoft has designed it to resonate well with us as curly developers doing the C sharp syntax, and we get a lot of the stuff that we like from C sharp. Whereas if you're coming from a different background, TypeScript wouldn't be necessarily your choice. There are other tools that you can use or other preprocessors. But TypeScript just, I don't know, it works for me. And it should work for anyone doing C-sharp. There's a lot of languages involved here. It adds things like static typing. Something that JavaScript developers and a lot of other functional developers and non-type developers think that you never need static typing. Who needs static typing? Why in the world would you want to know that your variable is actually a number and not a string? Because actually, there's a big difference what you can do with a number as compared to a string. And when you start adding them together, it gets freaky if you start losing your typing. So I actually like static typing. It does remove some of the weird bugs that you can get otherwise by passing in the wrong things. Especially with JavaScript accepting parameters into functions being whatever, it means that if you write a function and you call it and then you decide to change the signature of the function, it won't actually complain when you're calling it with completely wrong variables, which causes or parameters, which causes some problems. You have namespacing, so we can actually get namespaces in JavaScript and keep our things separate, so we don't necessarily need to pile everything into the global namespace. We get classes, we get interfaces, things that we're used to with object-oriented programming. We get enums, we get types, we get lambdas, we get generics. We're getting actually a language that looks a lot like C-sharp does today with the lambda stuff that we can do, with the functional programming we can do inside of C-sharp. And we get encapsulation. So JavaScript, everything in JavaScript is public, right? Because why in the world would you want to hide anything? Now the awesome feature, you have to do all these weird tricks to get things hidden in JavaScript. TypeScript will give you encapsulation and will make things possible to be private or protected. Kind of. Because as soon as you decompile it or cross-pile it into JavaScript, it becomes public again. Couldn't get that right, could you? So let's have a look at TypeScript as such. I'm just going to show you some basic usage. And the good thing about that is you can just go to your browser. You're not seeing a bunch of flickering, right? Sweet, it's just me that gets my background flickering through every time I move the mouse. You go to typescriptlang.org, which is now a beautiful blue web page that has been redesigned recently that has all the information you ever wanted to know about TypeScript. Then you click Playground. We'll take and remove all of that. And this thing makes it possible for you to online, in real time, write TypeScript on one side, and it will transpile it to JavaScript on the other side so you can see what's happening. And you can then run it without having to install anything on your machine. So if we go ahead and do something really, really complicated, like function calculate a comma b, return a plus b, alert. We should always do alerts. Alerts are awesome. Calculate. We even get IntelliSense. This is awesome. 1 comma 2, semicolon, run. Ta-da! Nobody's impressed. Also, this transpiler that we're using here is awesome. It removed that one line. That's about what it did. And the reason for that is that I am writing ECMAScript. I'm writing JavaScript. And JavaScript is TypeScript, so that's fine. But it also means that there's nothing for me to transpile. But if I want to highlight the thing that makes JavaScript broken, things like, hey, let's pass in an extra argument. Actually, that was a bad argument, like that. It will give me a red squiggly line, because we're talking TypeScript. TypeScript doesn't expect you to be a moron. It actually expects you to write code like you're supposed to. If it requires two parameters, you pass in two parameters. Ta-da! It's not very complicated. So it says, supplied parameters do not match the signature of call target. Sweet. Can't pass in extra parameters. Sweet. Can I change this into this? Yes, I can. Can I run this? What's this going to return to me? It used to be 3. Now it's going to write out what? 12. Yes. It will write out 12, but it's not going to be the number 12. It's going to be the string 12, which, on the other hand, in JavaScript, is pretty much the same thing. If you do the right thing, it's just turned that into a number 12 as well. Love JavaScript. So how do we solve this? Well, this is where TypeScript comes into place. We'll just go up here and fix this. Chris, you are only allowed to pass in a number. And also, it will figure out that A, which is a number, plus B, which is a number, will return a number. So I don't have to specifically go in and say it's going to return a number. I can go up here and say number. And that will make sure that I am returning a number from that function. Otherwise, it figures it out. If I do an if statement in here that returns, so I either return a string or a number, it will start complaining and say, you're stupid. You can only send back one of these. So you will have to two-string one of them. Or maybe not. Just don't return different types. This will now start complaining and say, once again, can't pass in string because it's not a number. And it will keep me from doing anything. But if you start looking now, you look in the right-hand side, you check out the JavaScript, and you figure out, wait a minute, what happened to my typing? Everything that you put in that is a type will be completely just removed as you transpile to JavaScript. There is no type checking in there. It doesn't automatically add something going, is this really a number that you told me it's supposed to be? It just goes, I don't care. Because as long as the TypeScript transpiler is happy enough, the TypeScript I'm from Sweden. You should be happy I'm not going bork, bork, bork and look like a little chef. The TypeScript compiler, it's called a compiler, I still call it transpiling, but as long as the compiler is happy that you are doing the right thing in TypeScript, it doesn't need the typing when it comes into JavaScript. Unless you then take that JavaScript and you start interacting with it using other JavaScript. Because then you can start messing things up again. Stay away from JavaScript. So this is quite neat. It sorts out these things for me. I can go and do other things in here. We can do some more TypeScripty things. Like we can say, I want to declare a type. And the type is supposed to be a calculation. And the type is going to be an A colon number, B colon number. And it's going to return a number. So I've now declared a type that says, this type has this signature. I can then go and say, var calc of type calculation equals, I can do, like that. And if I go down here and I try to use calc, it will now tell me that calc has this signature. And if I start running it, it will require numbers and things like that, even though I just did A and B, because it figures out that it's a calculation. So if I do this, it will work. So I can add types. I can also go and add classes. So if we do class calculator, we add a constructor. And the constructor takes a function of type calculation, like that. Then we do calculate. I can't spell. I'm from Sweden. I'm just going to use that as an excuse for everything today. It's a good excuse. Number. Return. Oh, so I can't use anything that's passed into constructor unless I create a reference to it, right? Because it's just going to be available in the constructor. So in C#, we would have gone ahead and created a private field named underscore fn, right? And then we'd go this.fn. TypeScript has this neat thing where I don't have to do that. I just go this, no, not this, private. And it will automatically create a private a member for me on this class that I can then use. So I can then go and say this.fn, and it says, if we look at this, we just look at the IntelliSense for it. You'll see that it says it's a property called fn. It takes two parameters, returns a number. So we'll pass in a comma b like that. And then I can do not press control S while in here. Then you do var calc equals new calculator. So you like the IntelliSense part, right? I forgot to mention that. It was there. It's kind of obvious it's there. TypeScript will then, due to the fact that it's not dynamic in the way that JavaScript is, we can actually do proper IntelliSense. So you will get proper freaking IntelliSense. And if any of you are out there thinking, well, Chris, in Visual Studio, if I write JavaScript, I write something, I press dot, I do get IntelliSense. I get a whole heap of things I can choose. Yes, you do. Not IntelliSense. It will include every single variable it has ever seen, probably make some up as well. And it will just give it to you in a long list. I'm pretty sure that if you scroll through it, there would be jokes in there. There is some freaking Microsoft developer has put an Easter egg in that somewhere, I promise you. I just haven't run through it because there are like a million options. It's not IntelliSense. So with this, we do get proper IntelliSense, even online, which is awesome. Number 1, 2. That wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to have, I want to input A comma B, A plus B. That should go. There it is. So I input the function that I want to use. And then I do calc dot calculate. And I pass in 1.2, don't control S. And I get the same thing. So now that we start doing classes in here, you'll see on the right-hand side that all of a sudden you're getting a lot more funky JavaScript stuff. It is now creating a variable called calculator that is a self-executing function, that is a function, that is a prototype. That it's really complicated, right? Let's just leave it at that. I don't even want to explain it because it's weird. I'm just going to go ahead and trust that the person at Microsoft who's written the TypeScript transpiler is smarter than me, which is very, very likely, I have figured out. Because the transpiler outputs good JavaScript. When I write JavaScript, it doesn't come out good. So he's obviously smarter than me. So we can do that. We can also go ahead and do other things. So I'm a big fan of dependency injection and interfaces and separations and things like that. We can do interfaces. So we can go ahead and say, let's actually not do it down there. Let's do it up here. Interface iValues. iValues has two properties, a number and b number, like that. That didn't work, and don't press Control S. There it is. I'm about to press Control S again. I really cannot not do it. It's freaky. Then I can change this out and say, actually, I want to have values of the type I values. And then all of a sudden it says that this is wrong, so I have to do values.a, values.b, like that. No, it's supposed to be called values. There it is. Funky thing compared to C-sharp, though, is that I don't need to create a class that implements this interface. I just need to create an entity that that implements this interface implicitly. As long as it has an A and a B property, and they're both numbers, it will be happy. So I can go ahead and say A colon 1, B colon 2, and it's going to be happy because it's going to look at that. The transpiler is going to look at my object literal and go, he's expecting an interface that has two properties, A and B, of the type number. You're passing in an object that has an A and B property of both numbers. Fine, I'm going to be happy with that. So we also can do interfaces, which is neat. Another cool thing, look on the right-hand side, you see the interface? If you do, you're probably seeing other things as well, because it disappears. Which is awesome when you put your interfaces in a separate file and you transpile it and you get an empty JavaScript file out. Very, very useful. Thank you. Last thing we can do in here that I'm going to show you is that we can put everything in namespaces. So I can take this thing and I can say namespace demo dot math. Because that is what I'm doing, right? I think it's called math. Then it starts complaining and saying, I cannot find name calc. Well, you cannot do that for the very simple reason that I put that wrong. So I'm going to put that in here. Because the error that I wanted was here. It says, don't do control S while on the web. It complains and said, cannot find name calculator. That's fine. We probably need to do demo.math.calculator. That's awesome. It's still quick. The squiggly line says, does not exist. Oh, okay, that's weird. It's actually not that weird. Anything you put inside of a namespace needs to be explicitly exported. Otherwise, it becomes private. So we have to go in here and say export class calculator, and then it works, because now it can find demo.math.calculator. But it means that we can have nice namespacing, and we can put different things in different buckets, or whatever you want to call it, so that if one team is working on one thing and another team is working on another, as long as we keep them in different namespaces, they don't collide. Because otherwise, you end up with the funky JavaScript feature of who gets loaded last. Make sure in the world of JavaScript that your team, that your JavaScript file is the one loaded last, because you will win. Always start there. It's not at all complicated for the person building the code. No, at all. Not at all. Oh, so you got that team's thing before us. No, sorry, that has to be after us. That's important. JavaScript is fantastic. So, TypeScript. How do we go about going through it if we don't want to do it online? Because I'm not expecting you to sit there on the typescriptlang.org and build your entire application, because it's going to be really weird to tell your clients that they have to browse to typescriptlang.org and paste your code in there to get it to work. So installing TypeScript is actually quite easy. If you have Visual Studio 2013 Update 2, which is old by now, if you have that, you have TypeScript. If you have that and you still work on it, you seriously need to reconsider upgrading. 2015 will have it by default. And also, if you're not a Microsoft person and you for some reason think that Node is the business, or doing everything command line, you do npm install -g TypeScript. It installs TSC for you, and then you can start transpiling things using TSC in your command line, which is what I'm going to be doing today, which is probably not what I should do, but as I said, there are reasons for it. One thing I want to mention is I showed you namespacing, which is called internal modules. Internal modules means that you get namespaces, and JavaScript will make sure that you get the namespacing properly, and you get what is called internal modules. External modules is a bit different. External modules came in later in TypeScript, and it's a part of what we're doing in JavaScript now, which is we start loading JavaScript as modules. We don't always bundle our whole application up into one file, and we download that. Instead, we create modules. And then modules can have dependencies. So this module here requires this module here, and this module here requires that module there. And then we can have module loaders that will download the file, look at what else is needed, and go and download all the, everything else that it needs. And it will create a graph of the files that it needs to download and get that all sorted for you. That can be supported in TypeScript. You use import and export statements, and instead of doing namespaces, your file, the actual physical TypeScript file, is your module. So you literally have a file, you do exports from that file, and whenever you need to have access for it, so basically you see here, export class X, then in the other module that you want to use it from, you just do import X from, and then dot slash, and then the path and name of the file you want to include, excluding the file extension. Make sense? Not at all. I will show you, but I thought I'd mention it. On top of that, modules are awesome, because you know it's JavaScript, right? Is there any chance that JavaScript will have one cool module solution that just works? The Java community thought that we needed, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them? So you have to choose what module type you want as well. So you have to go ahead and tell the TypeScript compiler that I want to use modules. Can you please use the module system of type X? So I have to go and say I want to use AMD module or CommonJS module or SystemJS modules or UMD modules, or why not just fall back to the original ECMAScript 2015, that is JavaScript module loading, which would be awesome. The problem is that it's not included in your browser. So your browser doesn't actually support module loading. Because why would they support what's in the specification? It's JavaScript, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way. This is going to get cleaned up. Module loading will be a part of your browser in the future. It's not at this point. So you have to go and get another module loader, like an external one, which is basically a JavaScript that will do the module loading for you. I'm going to use one called SystemJS. SystemJS is awesome, I think, in the way that it will sort out any type of modules that you're using. So it will actually be able to support mixing and matching different module systems for you. It's pretty easy to configure. Require.js is an older version of it that used to be around, only supports one type of modules. Webpack and Browserify will basically run everything and pack it up to one file for you on your machine, whereas SystemJS will do it on the client if you want to. So, the best way to learn something is to build something, right? And I am from Sweden. I keep saying that. It's awesome. I am from Sweden. Sweden is an awesome place. We're hiring if you want to move to Sweden. I'm going to show you Spotify. Has anyone not heard of Spotify? Okay, so everyone has heard of that. Tidal? Anyone not hear about Tidal? Everyone heard about that one as well. Nobody uses that, though. Anybody use Tidal? Anybody use Spotify? Anybody ever tried the Spotify API? There's one guy. The Spotify API is awesome. So I'm going to create a little Spotify searcher that you can go in and you can search things on Spotify. Why would you do that? I don't know. They have a client that works much better, but I'll show you. So I'm going to go in here and create a fantastic UI. I'm going to create a UI that looks like that, which means that I've created something that looks like that. So before I became a developer, I was supposed to become an art director. Check out that. I know how to do good things, and they look fantastic. So once I've got my UI, I'm going to go ahead and create a scripts folder. Inside my scripts folder, I'm creating an app.ts file, where I'm going to put, ta-da, my TypeScript. This is the entry point into my application. First thing I need to do is I need to get a hold of my button. This button here is called search button. So I go and I say var search button equals document. This is awesome. It actually document, a lot of the built-in JavaScript things like document and all of that is already in the TypeScript stuff. So basically it will be able to give me nice proper, once again, proper IntelliSense for the JavaScript things. So I can go in here and I can say I want to do a query selector. Why, Chris, do you not just use get element by ID? I could. But this is so cool. I didn't know that this was around. This is like running jQuery without actually loading up the bloat of jQuery. So I go search button like that. Then I want to hook up the click event to that. So I know that I need to go search button dot on click. Yeah, can't do on click. Why can I not do on click? Because when I do query selector, I get back an element. Element doesn't support on click. It supports a whole bunch of other things, but not on click. So let's just cast it to an HTML button element. And all of a sudden, we have all of the on blah, blah, blah. So we go on click equals event. We do a cool little lambda syntax instead of the ugly function blah, blah, blah. This looks nice and short and simple. In here, I'm going to pull out the query. But before I can do that, I have to get access to my text box. So I'm going to go ahead and say get elements like that. So I do the same thing. I just do document query selector. I pull out the search query, which is a text box or an input element. I pull out my unordered list element. And that means that I can now set up my var query equals text box dot value, like that. Then call Spotify. So this is where I, as a lead developer and mentor, will now take this and give it to a junior developer and tell him to go and implement it for me. And then he'll come back with something that's not great, and I have to rewrite it, but I'll try. So one thing I want to do is I need to go and open up this. I'm going to create a new command line, and I'm going to run tsc-w. That will be TypeScript compiler running in watch mode. So it has a little configuration here, tsconfig.json, that tells it what to compile and how to compile it. And it will now live here in the background. And whenever I change my TypeScript file, it's going to recompile it. So you can see it here. It's already compiled into JavaScript. Whenever I change and save this, TypeScript will sit there and recompile it for me. OK. To be able to talk to TypeScript, no. To be able to talk to Spotify, I have to talk over HTTP, right? Making requests over HTTP using JavaScript is really simple. There are no problems involved in that. So what you need to do is you need to figure out how to do that call. And in my world, I'm going to abstract that away, because I'm just like that. So I'm going to do hp.ts. And I'm going to abstract it away using an IHTTP service. The IHTTP service looks like this. It's simple. It has a get. It tells it what type I'm getting from the server. It gets the path or the URL. And it returns any. Returning any is crap. It is like returning a JavaScript variable. I don't like returning JavaScript variables, because you're back to JavaScript. What we want to do is we want to return a promise, right? Because any HTTP call is going to be async. Any async call needs to be a promise in JavaScript. So what we need to do is we need to go ahead and get some form of access to promises. And promises are kind of built into most browsers nowadays. But it's actually not built in, so you don't have it in TypeScript. So there's nothing in here that says promise. So what we can do is we can pull up my trusty command line again, start another one, and I can go and use TSD. This is for definitely typed or TypeScript definitions. There are other ways, apparently better ways, to get a hold of your TypeScript definitions. This has been deprecated. I still like this because I'm old school. This is what I learned, but you'll find other ways. But what we want to do is we want to go and get something called a typings file for promises. So I'm going to do tsd install es6-promise. I think it's called promise. Yes, enter. There it is. This will run off, and it will create a download a file that it puts into my typings folder. Inside my typings folder is es6-promise. Inside there is a TypeScript file, but it's called .d.ts, which means that it's not a TypeScript file with code. It's just a TypeScript file with definitions. So if I look at it, you will only find interfaces in here. And these are interfaces that define the functionality of the promise API in your browser. So by having that, I can now go up here and say, I'm actually going to, no, actually I can't. I need to include that first. So we do typings ES6. We add a little comment like this at the top. It's a JavaScript comment that says the reference is there, and then I point to the DTS file, and that tells your editor that you can find extra IntelliSense stuff over here. Once I've got that, I can now go in and say promise, if I could spell it, and now it's found that there's something called a promise. It's a generic type, so I need to tell it that it's a promise of type any. That is now async, or it's a promise, and I can do async stuff with it, but it is still returning any. I want to get away from any. So I'm going to abstract away my HTTP response in something that looks like that. IHTTP response. Another interface that looks like this. It's very simple. I want to get a response back from my HTTP service that is not specific to the specific HTTP implementation that I'm doing. So I've got this interface here that says, I want to be able to get the status code back. I want to be able to get the status text. Don't ask me why, but that might be good. And I want to be able to get some form of data, and the data is going to be a generic type that I define when I make the call. So I can now go ahead and say that my HTTP service returns a promise of a type IHTTP promise response of type T. Does that make sense? This will make it much, much easier for me to call this then later on. Well, you see me do this, you'll see that it all just comes together and makes the API actually quite nice, and we get typing for it, so we get static typing, we get IntelliSense, and it all just works. So, next, I want to have an implementation of this, and I'm going to use an API called fetch. So I'm going to do fetch HTTP service, like this. I'm going to leave it there for a little while. So it's a fetch HTTP service. It implements IHTTP service, which means that it has a get method that's generic, takes a URL, and it returns a promise of the type IHTTP response of type T. So I return a new promise of this type, and then in here I do the actual implementation. So this is where I do everything, and then I resolve or reject it whether or not this worked. Fetch is an API that is probably, I assume, going to be built into all browsers in the future. So Chrome, for example, has it built in by default. It's just there. In Chrome, you can just go fetch and pass in the URL, and it will go and fetch it for you. Other browsers, not so much. They will probably in the future. So we need to have a shim for it as well. So I need to shim that, basically have some implementation. That's not where I want that. Some form of implementation, come on, that will be implemented if it's not available in the browser. So I've got a few libraries that I'm going to have to stick in here to get this application to work. So I'm just going to pull those in here now. Can't do that. I have to do this. So I'm pulling it. This is fetch.js. I'll come back to Lodash and System.js later on. But basically what I'm looking at now is fetch.js, which is, if we look at it, it's a self-executing function that basically looks to see, is there a fetch in the browser, then do nothing. If there isn't a fetch in the browser, go and implement fetch, the fetch API, using JavaScript instead. Awesome tool to have, a little shim like that. Once we've got that, we can do a fetch get. So I call fetch, I give it the URL to get, I go a then response, and I get my async stuff. I tell it to resolve my promise using this thing here. And all of this is TypeScript, and all of this is typed, nicely typed, so I can have a look at it. If we look in here, for example, we can go resolve dot, you get all of the IntelliSense, everything is fine. However, it is complaining about fetch. Because fetch is not something that's available in TypeScript, because TypeScript doesn't know about fetch because it's not in all browsers. So there are a couple of ways around this. We could go about it by actually going and getting a typings file for fetch, and then include that with a reference up here to the fetch typings file. But what do you do if there are no typings file? Would you really have to sit down and write your own definition for every JavaScript API out there that doesn't have a typings file? That sounds awesome, right? Yeah, I'm just going to do this, boss. It's a 5-minute implementation, but I need to write the typings file, which is going to take me 4 weeks. Doesn't work. We can do it like this. Declare var fetch colon any. And all of a sudden, my red squiggly lines disappear. And everything is good. Everything is awesome, right? Except for the fact that fetch is now anything or any, and I get no intelligence for it and such. If I know the API of that JavaScript function, like fetch in this case, or that API, I can go ahead and just fold back to any and do the old school JavaScript stuff, and it will still work in here. So declare var fetch is just a way to tell TypeScript that I will be using a variable called fetch, and it's going to be of type any. So whenever you see that fetch thingy, just ignore it, and I will make sure that when I run my actual JavaScript, I will make sure that there is a fetch thing that I can use in that context. Does that make sense? So it's not like I'm declaring a new variable here, because if I removed declare var here, I would actually start overwriting the original fetch variable. Declare var means there will be one, you just assume that I am brilliant and I will sort that out later on. The whole brilliant part is not in the spec, but that's, you just have to bring that yourself. Now that we've got that, we've got an HTTP service, and we need to start talking to Spotify. Since you had not looked at Spotify's API, I have to show this. I am proud of this as a Swedish developer, because this is actually quite awesome. You go to developer.spotify.com. There's a Spotify web API. Well documented. Ta-da! You go to web API endpoint reference. Well documented. Ta-da! Go to search. It will tell you everything you need to send to Spotify to get the response back. And since they are doing proper nice REST, I can do things like copy this URL here, paste it in here, press enter, and here is the response back in JSON format. Does anybody know the artist Tanya Bora? No. So let's change that to Metallica so we have something that we know what it is. There it is. That will give me back an artist object, or it's going to give me an object with a property of the artists, because I am searching type artists. It will have an href to what I've just searched. It will have an items array. And inside that items array, it will have items. Duh. And it's got like a total amount of responses and things like that. Neat, simple API. And no need for authentication, which is the primary reason to use it for this demo. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a new file, spotify.ts. Inside spotify.ts, I'm going to go ahead and create Spotify data interfaces. I am through in this. Look at this. This is an external module. It means that these things here, this is an external module as well. I use export for all of the things that needs to be available outside of this actual file. So I'm exporting three interfaces here. iSearch result has a total, which is a number, and an items property, which is an array of iSpotify item. iSpotify item has a name and an array of iImage. iImage has an optional height, an optional width, and URL. The only important things about these interfaces is they correspond to properties in my JSON, right? Total, items, item inside here. That's a bad way of doing it. Let's do it like this. Has a name and an images array. So I don't actually make, I'm not going to make an implementation. I'm just declaring interfaces to sort of give my JSON data structure. Once I've got that, I'm going to create an iSpotify interface. This is what I'm going to use to integrate with Spotify using. So I'm going to have an interface called iSpotify. It has a search. I pass in a query, and it returns a promise of type iSearch result. Does this make sense? I'm just going straight, 180 kilometers an hour. Sorry, you're miles per hour, 90 miles per hour, straight ahead, not asking. Well, I hope it does, and I hope you see the thing that we're getting all this actual structure using TypeScript. I can look at this thing and I can figure out that, oh, I'm supposed to pass in a string. I will get a promise back, and this is the result I'm going to get from the promise and so on, which is something I haven't been able to do before. Once I've got that, I need to pull in typings ES6, because I need to have a reference to promise, because I am using a promise down here. Code, Visual Studio Code is actually smart enough to figure out this thing kind of automatically, because there is a typings file in the root, or typings folder in the root of my project, which is why it's not complaining. I just want to mention that. I still like adding these just for the sake of it, because not all editors will support that notation or that convention. Once I got that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to import. Nope. Yes, that's the one. So I'm now telling this module here that, can you go ahead and get the IHTTP service? So these curly braces makes it possible for me to define what things in my other module do I want to have reference to. In this case, the IHTTP service interface. I want to get it from .slash means current directory. HTTP means http.ts. So I've now created a link from this file into my http.ts file and telling it that, can you please go and get this thing for me from that thing. It's pretty much like in C# you would add a reference to another assembly, and then we'd do a using statement in your code and say, I'm using this and this, and it would sort it all out. This is kind of those two combined into one statement. Once I got that, I can go and say Spotify. Get a class here. Implements here. Saying that I implement iSpotify is actually not mandatory. It's an optional notation to say that I am doing it to help you figure out whether or not you are actually implementing it. If you left it out and I still created a Spotify class and made sure that I referenced it as an iSpotify, it would work. But you having this will then give me a red squiggly line saying that you're stupid, you're missing stuff. I like my UI to tell me that I'm stupid, because it happens way too often. Once I got that, I can create a constructor. Constructor. In my constructor, I want to get access to my HTTP API. So basically my implementation of HTTP. So I'm going to say this, no, private HTTP colon IHTTP service. Saying that, can you pass in an IHTTP service implementation for me? And then we do Spotify search. We do this. Implement the search method, saying that it's a query of type string. I'm returning a promise of type iSearch result. That wasn't supposed to happen. I do this.http to get access to my HTTP implementation, and say get any. Can you just get me something back? In this case, I actually like any, because I'm getting this dynamic resource from the web. I'm just going to just give me something. It will be a JavaScript variable. And since it's JSON, I can then work with that JavaScript variable. I give it the URL that I want to call. And I'm using this awesome new JavaScript string interpolation. So a backtick and a backtick. And then I can do $ and curly brace, and then I can write some code and then curly brace again, and it will do the string concatenation for me automatically. So I get this one simple single little string. I make sure to URI encode my query, so if I input any stupid characters there, it will be URI encoded. When it comes back in the then, which is basically a callback from my promise, it says now I'm done. The response here will contain a bunch of different things. Among them, it will contain, you know that, because I showed you the interface before. It will contain data, status, and status message. I'm ignoring the status and the status message because I don't need them. But the data will then include this. If I return the artist's property of this JSON here, we do happen to know that this object here corresponds very well to the interface called iSearchResult, right? Yes, it does, Chris. I'm slowly losing every single one of you. It's awesome. It's my goal in life, go to conferences and show stuff that people just forget about. Once I've got this up and running, I now have a simple Spotify API that I can work with. So I can go back to my app here. I can go up here and do a Spotify imports. Oh yeah, one good thing to remember as well, or see in here that I forgot to mention. I only import the IHTTP service. So you could put your interfaces in one file and your implementations in a different file and actually get proper separation. I happen to put them both in the same module and export them, but you don't necessarily have to. So this time I import Spotify from my Spotify module. I import fetch HTTP service from the HTTP module. Once I've got that, I can here say var Spotify equals new Spotify. It wants an IHTTP service, new fetch, I can't spell, fetch HTTP service like that. So I just create a new instance of fetch HTTP service that Spotify can use to make the call. Once I got my Spotify client here, my API, I can then go down inside of my click, I can go Spotify dot, check this out, this is so awesome. It gives me IntelliSense, says search, sweet. It wants a query. Yes, query, that's the text box value. Then, there it is. What do I get in then? You get this. But basically the interesting part is that thing here that says value I search result. Sweet. X. Make it like that. And look at this. I can now pull out all of my stuff from my JSON feed that I'm getting off Spotify. I can go to items. I can get item number one. I can get the images. I can get image number one. And there I can get the URL for that image. And I get IntelliSense for all of it. I don't get this randomly untyped thing that doesn't tell me anything about where I got back. I've got proper typing. I know what I'm getting. I know that these variables here, for example, height and number are numbers that I can use if they're available. To size things up. So using that, I can go ahead and say search callback. There it is. So I'm creating a little loop here. So I do a JavaScript new loop, the for of. So I'm doing for const item of x item. So if you're not familiar with new JavaScript, or in this case TypeScript, const is a great way of creating a variable that is only available within your curly braces. It will give you curly brace scoping instead of function scoping that JavaScript has. So using const and let instead of var will take away a lot of the weird variable things that happen inside of JavaScript. So if you do need to fall back to JavaScript, or if you're doing, well, TypeScript will sort it out with var as well, but if you're doing JavaScript, make sure to always use const and let, because they will remove a whole heap of problems that you might be finding. So I iterate through the items. I go and create a list item from document create element. I pull out the first image where the item's image size, the width is less or equal to 700 and larger than or equal to 500. I'll come back to how I'm doing that with a little underscore. Create a new image tag, which is basically if there's an image, then give me an image tag with the source input using the string concatenation things from JavaScript with a width of 200. If not, just give me an empty string. Don't give me an image at all. Just ignore that. Take my list item, get the inner HTML, and yes, all of that is available here, inner HTML, it's a string, I can set that, sweet, IntelliSense for the win. I create a little, this is also string concatenation, not a lot of strings, but it is concatenating my image tag with a space and the name of my item. So I get the name of the thing I've searched for. And then I take the result list, I go append child, I give it my list item, and it will render it. There are a couple of things not working here now. This thing has a squiggly line, and this thing has a squiggly line. That is because the underscore is part of a JavaScript library called Lodash. So I want to use Lodash, and once again, Lodash is not in TypeScript for obvious reasons. So if I go into this thing here, I just go and say, can I get TSD install Lodash? Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. That's the Swedish chef. Got my Lodash stuff in here. That installs into typings. I can go up here and say typings Lodash, and it adds a Lodash typings reference for me. And all of a sudden, the underscore is not squiggly anymore. And here is my personal favorite, because when you're using a big, complicated JavaScript framework, Lodash is an example of a very useful framework that ends up in pretty much all of my projects, but it includes like a gazillion different really useful things. Being able to go dot and get all of these different functions that are in there with IntelliSense for parameters and things like that means that I don't have to go around the web looking for the documentation for it and searching through the documentation to figure out what I want to do. I've got it all in my browser or in my editor. Loving that. Okay, TypeScript done. Last thing I need to do is load this into my browser and I'm done, right? So let's head back to index.html. I'm going to do a little thing in here. In here, I'm going to tell it that I want to have a script, a source tip. No script. And I want to pull in my lib here. Scripts slash lib slash system.js. So this is my module loader. This is an awesome little tool, and then I can go system.js config. What I do in here, after I've loaded that thing, look that I'm not loading anything but system.js. That is it. Then I tell system.js that you'll find all of my files in the scripts directory. So I can move things around, and I can easily just reconfigure it and say it's not in scripts anymore, it's over there, it's over there. Right now, I'm loading all my JavaScript from my script folder together with my TypeScript files. App.js has a dependency on Lodash and fetch. Since my app.ts file does not import anything out of those two libraries, it doesn't have an import from them, system.js cannot actually figure out that it needs to load those other things as well, so I have to tell it. So I tell it to load Lodash and fetch if I load app.js, and then I'd say that Lodash is available here, fetch is available here, and then I tell it to add JavaScript extension by default. And then I say, can you please load app.js for me? It will then run off, get app.js. App.js will include things here saying, I require Spotify. I require HTTP. Sweet. So this system.js will then look at the file, go, OK, you require those other things. I'll go and download those as well. And oh, yeah, you needed Lodash and fetch, so I'll download those as well. And I will then also figure out for you what order all of these things need to be added to the DOM for them to work together. So it will load Lodash and fetch before it loads all my other things, and it will load everything in the correct order, and I'm just the happiest guy around because I won't end up getting weird errors. So in theory, I'm not supposed to be able to go back here, look in here. It says system is not defined, because you couldn't get up. Nobody saw that? I don't trust you. And yeah, it reloads itself automatically, because I'm using the NPM Lite server, or Node Lite server, and that uses browser sync. So whenever I change something here, it automatically reloads my UI for me, which is kind of funky for a demo, and it's really freaking annoying when you're in production or in real development when it starts reloading stuff you don't want to reload. Then I can take this and I press in Metallica, press the search. It works. I have a fully working JavaScript application. If I go into my network here, and you'll see that it will start off by loading my index, my system.js, browser sync, you can ignore. Then it loads up app.js, Lodash, fetch, Spotify, HTTP.js, all the JavaScript files that I've just transpiled. It will load them in the right order. TypeScript has been transpiled. I've got all the IntelliSense stuff, but out in the other end comes JavaScript that I can use in my browser. And all of a sudden, my application is actually working, but I do also have a structured development environment that I can share with other devs. This thing has a little bug, because if you go and search for Iron Maiden, actually it doesn't matter what you search for, but it keeps adding things to my list, right? There's a little tiny one that can be easily fixed by just going in here and saying, while there is something in my search result list, look at that, I get all the IntelliSense, I can go first child, and if I find first child, result list dot remove child, remove that first child, it empties out the list, it reloads, I can go Metallica, search, Iron Maiden, search, I don't know any other ones. It's only ones I listen to. I probably do know a few others. We can, oh, look at this. Bruno Mars. Oh, don't ever Google for it. Don't search for that. Iron Maiden, please get it out of there. There we go. There it is. So that's it. Actually, building something with TypeScript is quite awesome because you're not seeing, I can't really show you all of the features of having all of the cool IntelliSense, but it just makes life so much simpler. I just had to snippet things for it to not take like forever. But you get this structured way of working with things that I cannot stress how good it is. I'm currently with a client who's building a big JavaScript application, and they expected to live for 10 years. And they're doing pure JavaScript. And I basically told them that if you're not switching to TypeScript, I'm leaving. Because there's no way in my mind that you will be able to entertain and take care of a JavaScript application that includes thousands upon thousands upon thousands lines of JavaScript code over 10 years. There will be so much stuff in there that you don't want that will cause you problems that TypeScript would help you out with. Transpilation, because I do believe I've got 10 more minutes, right? Because I looked at the schedule and all of a sudden it says 75 minutes and I'm like, oh, I've only got 60. We'll sort that out. Alternatives for transpilation. So I did TSC-W. I do that on stage as a demo. I don't do that in my professional life. I will go and get some form of transpiler, some form of task runner that will do have transpilation as part of it. So I use Gulp. Grunt is a good option. Visual Studio will do the transpilation for you automatically. Actually, it's really, 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 really hard to turn off TypeScript transpilation in Visual Studio. The only way I've found out to do it is you need to go in and hack the CS project file and add some little thing in there, which is an XML element, and tell it that, don't do this for me. Or you have to tell all of your TypeScript files, you have to go down to the properties and say, this is of type none, or build action none, and that will sort it all out. But Visual Studio will do it for you on the fly. So as soon as you save, it will do the transpile for you. Broccoli will work. Any other task runner you want to run will work. If you want to use Node scripts straight up, Node scripts will do it for you. So it's actually quite simple to do the transpile. Do, though, remember that transpilation is a build step. If you check in transpile JavaScript, I will, and everyone has heard me talk before, know that I will hunt you down while you sleep and Freddy Krueger you. And it's out of love. As soon as you add that to the end, you can say anything. Oh, sorry, it's out of love. Sorry, I killed you. It was out of love. No, the reason is that if you start adding transpile JavaScript into source code, or source control, you're going to end up with a gazillion conflicts. And especially if you start adding your minified and bundled JavaScripts in there, every single check-in will include a conflict, and it will be a crapshoot to figure out how to get it to run. Or you will just have to go and say, mine is the right one, and just overwrite everything. Do just check in your TypeScript, and then have your build engine do the transpile for you. Okay? So actually, I have to show you this one. I've probably most of you have seen. Somebody told me never go off script when you're on stage. I don't care, because this is like the most awesome JavaScript demo ever. And I've got 7 more minutes to show you this. I have stolen this from a presentation online. I will admit, it's from a presentation called Destroy All Software Talks. It's called the WAT presentation. Anyone see it? Yeah. OK, those of you who haven't, you'll probably enjoy this. Because you can pull out an array like this in JavaScript. I'll give you a little close-up like this. Because this is the best way I've ever seen anyone explain how screwed up JavaScript is. You can have 15 undefined, right, in an array. We can go and say we want to join those. And we can input lol. And it comes out like something. We can just do bork, since I'm Swedish. So we get bork, 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 right? For those of you who haven't seen this, what will this end up doing? Any suggestions? One bork, bork, bork? Nope. It will be bork one, bork one, or one bork one, bork one, bork. It will just add it to end. So it will keep adding the one to the end of my string. If I go that way around, I can do things. But what happens if you do this? Bork. It's a good guess. Actually, it would be bork, bork, bork without the space, because it would you're thinking about removing the last space, right? Nope. I can give you a tip, and this is the fun part of it. Any thoughts now? Na 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 Batman. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I just had to use that demo. It works every single time. Thank you everyone for listening. If you have any questions, I've got another 5 minutes. Other than that, take my Batman joke and just enjoy it. If you haven't seen that presentation, just YouTube WAT presentation, W-A-T presentation. It's going to be the best 3.5 minutes of your, probably the best of 3.5 minutes of your life. That explains a lot about my life. There's a question up here. Yes. So the question is, I'm using in the Spotify demo, I have a width and a height on my image with a question mark. So it says width, question mark, colon, number. That is a nullable. So if you add a question mark, so the code is that you're referring to is Spotify, you're referring to that thing there. Yes, that means that it's a nullable type because Spotify won't actually give you height and width for all images. Yes, so nullable.
So it's not exactly nullable.
It's not nullable because it removes the thing completely from the JSON response. But you can think of it as a nullable.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Undefinable.
Optional.
Any other questions? Everybody's just moving out. I think there are evals, right? So if you like the presentation, give me a good score. If you didn't like the presentation, come up here, explain to me why. I will tell you why it was a good presentation. You give me a good score, right? Okay, well, thank you for everyone. If you have questions you want to ask that's not publicly, thank you. Good for the public, I'm up here. You can just come and grab me and ask your question. I will be around for today and tomorrow as well, so if there's anything, just grab me in the hallway.